Welcome to Explore Europe, a podcast series for American military stationed in and around Germany. Each episode brings you travel tips and local secrets to help you get the most out of your time overseas. With your hosts, Michelle Peirce and John Sweeney, who have been living in Germany and exploring Europe for over 15 years. So, where should we explore today? Well, there's only one way to find out. It's on with the show.
Welcome to another episode of Explore Europe. I am so excited to welcome our very first guest onto this podcast series. And I'm even more excited that he's a real live actual American. So for those of you tiring of my British accent, I have some homegrown talent here for you today. Welcome, Brett Hellenius. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Brett, I am going to dive straight in with a big question. What are you doing in Germany?
I think the bigger question is, what am I not doing in Germany? It's such an amazing place. I assume you want me to tell people who I am.
Yes, please. Give us some background.
Well, first of all, I'm really honored that I'm your first real live, living, breathing in the wild American guest. So that is really an honor. So thank you very much. And hopefully I'm not your last American.
I'm sure as long as you behave yourself, we'll invite some more back and maybe even you again.
Okay, we'll see how that goes. So my name is Brett Hellenius. I've been living in Germany for almost 10 years. I guess I'm what you would call an expat at this point. I live in a really beautiful section of Germany called the Deutsche Weinstraße, which is the German wine road. And I'm here like Michelle, loving and living in Germany. And I own a business, and we work with the military population and the military bases and installations here in Germany. And we also produce the Find It Guide, which is also really popular. And that's who I am. I'm the CEO of the company and a longtime traveler.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the Find It Guide, and I want to come back to that, because for those people who have just arrived in Germany, it's probably the number one tool that people use when they first arrive here to orientate themselves, find everything they need in Germany. It's just an absolute essential guide, right?
Yeah, well, I'll be sure to send you your check in the mail. Thanks for that great plug. We've had people...
You're welcome.
We've had people call it the Bible. I don't know if it goes quite that far, but it's definitely a handy tool for people, especially when they just put feet on the ground here in Germany and they're in a foreign land and don't speak the language. And it's kind of your one-stop shop to get everything you need as far as phone numbers for all the offices that you're going to need to go to and hints on what to do in Germany, how to drive, culture tips, places to go for business. It's really helpful and people really, really like to use it, which makes us feel good. So it's free to get and you can get it on pretty much any installation.
Fantastic. Now you've been here 10 years, but you're working with the military as the CEO of this publishing house. So that sounds to me like you are perfectly positioned to have one foot in each camp. You are both local and still very much an American, right?
Sure. Yeah. I go on Ramstein Air Base often, onto Capone Air Station and on Vogelway and up in Baumholder and Sembach, and was just out in USAG Bavaria at Wiesbaden, USAG Wiesbaden, and USAG Stuttgart through my travels. So pretty much if it's a military installation in Germany, I'm there. So. But where I live, actually, there aren't that many Americans. I live in a little town called Neuleiningen, and it's only about 25 minutes from Kaiserslautern, or as Americans call it, K-Town. Basically, the doorstep of the German wine road, the Deutsche Weinstraße, there's really no Americans that live here. So it kind of has forced us and allowed us to really get immersed in the German culture.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a bit more about the German Weinstraße in a minute, but I just want to come back to this. That's very brave to go and move somewhere outside of an American community when you are an American and you're married to an American as well, and to really kind of, you know, immerse yourself in the local culture here. I mean, I've done it, but I did it very gently through living in Mannheim, and there was a military base here in Mannheim for many years. And as the base closed, I guess kind of stayed here and put down my roots here. But you've really gone for it. That's pretty bold.
Well, thanks. There's definitely, I won't say that it's been a completely easy entry. German is a tough language. The culture is complete. Anybody who has tried to learn German will tell you German's difficult. Even the Germans tell you German's really difficult. It takes a lot of persistence if you really want to try to immerse yourself fully in the culture. You're constantly learning new words, new ways of doing things. You're in a foreign country, so you're expected to speak that language. So if you don't know all the buzzwords of whatever it is you're doing, it can be a little bit stressful. So it's really a question of, you know, how much you really, really want to, you know, try to immerse yourself. But I can tell you that if you can even get a little bit, even some simple greetings and simple things, the German people are incredibly appreciative. And it really does change your experience while you're in Germany. It just shows the local population that you've got a vested interest in actually finding out about their culture. And then you get this completely different experience, which I highly, highly recommend.
Well, it sounds like you are getting the best of living in Germany, and it sounds like you have found a fantastic place to live in Germany. And I guess that's what we're going to explore today. Shall we get stuck in and talk about the area around you live, the German Weinstraße?
Sure. That sounds great. Where do you want to start?
You tell me where to start. I mean, there was obviously a reason you chose to live in that area. Give me some of the highlights. What is it about living on the Weinstraße that appeals to you? I'm going to say wine, but maybe I'm wrong.
I was going to say, I'll give you a hint. It's in the name of the place. I'll slow it down. It's the Weinstraße, and that means wine road. And so this is actually one of the big regions of winemaking. What's interesting about this place is I try to tell people back in the States where I live, and they kind of look at me like I've got two heads, because they didn't realize that Germany had a wine growing region, very famous for beer and that kind of thing. But for wine, you know, there's not a ton of wine that's exported to the States. So when I start to describe, actually, as I'm sitting here looking out my window, these rolling hills of vineyards as far as the eye can see, With this beautiful sun and the amazing weather we get here, it's just absolutely gorgeous. And it's a place that it's really easy to get to. So it's one of the reasons my wife and I picked to live here is because wine's really cheap.
Okay, great.
Not cheap in
quality. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, not cheap in quality. Cheap in as if, it's about the same price as a bottle of water. So that doesn't hurt at all. And it's really good. Really, really good wine. Even if you're not a wine drinker, you kind of become one because it's very accessible. There's so much of it that's available. And it's really, really good. And, you know, the attitude about it here, there's farmers that, you know, that are basically raising crops and turning it into wine. And it's really part of the lifestyle.
Yeah. So is there anywhere particular, apart from your hometown, which, of course, now everyone listening to this podcast is going to move to, are there any vineyards locally that you particularly like to visit?
There's so many vineyards that you can go to. And here, you know, you would call it a Weingut. Mm-hmm. And that's wine.
I'm writing that down as you say that very slowly.
There you go. Yeah. And so there's so many once you get down here, because the Deutsche Weinstraße is 84 kilometers long. So it goes all the way from near where I live in Bockenheim, and it goes all the way down to the French border, which is the beginning of the Alsace-Lorraine region. That is Schwetzingen. And so that's a really long distance. And basically that whole distance is covered by vineyards. The number of actually winemakers is off the charts. So to really try to find where you should go can be quite intimidating, actually. I'm just going to give you a couple that are I'm interested that are up here in the northern part of the Weinstraße. But I'll be honest with you, you really can't go wrong because there are so many. And wherever you end up going to just try some wine, and we can talk about how to do that later, you really can't miss. And the people are incredibly friendly. I can't stress that more. You won't go into any place where they're not going to want you in there. So definitely very accessible. But a couple that I really like, of course, my hometown favorite here in Neuleiningen, Rudi Rutger is actually right across the street from where I live. So it's quite convenient. And when the wife tells me to go out and get wine, I just walk across the street. So it's actually really easy. But it's actually, it's in an old castle, which is actually still in operation because people live inside the walled castle. And Rudi Rutger is actually a family that's been running the Weingut there for over, I think it's over 400 years or so. The family started in the 1600s, and it's been the same family line ever since. The current generations that are there, Rudi Rutger is the older father, and Rudolf Rutger is the son. And so that's kind of one of the neat places to go, because obviously the wine's really good, but it's also, you're not going to find many families that are still in the same lineage as when the wine began in the 1600s.
Wow.
So that's one I definitely would recommend. Plus, it's in this amazingly beautiful walled city of Neuleiningen, and it's very close to the communities of Kaiserslautern, Wiesbaden, and even Stuttgart.
Wow, that sounds like a real experience.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, there's, like I said, there's so many winemakers around, but that's one I think that'd be a little bit special. And they're incredibly friendly there. And if you tell them you're American, they will start talking to you and probably introduce you to all the wine they have and show you around. So they're really a great family as well. Another one that is probably, you probably wouldn't find on your own is a Weingut called Gaul.
Okay.
And that is in Anselheim. And that's not far from here, just north of Grünstadt. And that's another family that is incredibly friendly. And I picked them out because my wife loves their Pinot Noir. They actually won the best German Pinot Noir award. And so it's not very well known, I think, amongst Americans. And so now you have the inside secret on, an award-winning place that you would just drive right by. You wouldn't even know it's there.
Great. You heard it here first, people. Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, no problem. I think one of the neat things probably for people is to get a tour of wine cellars. So there's a couple places that, will do wine tours. A lot of the older Weinguts have, cellars deep down in some cave, but not all of them will do an official tour. But one of them that does a pretty good tour is called Weingut von Winning.
Mm.
So it's Weingut, V-O-N, Winning, W-I-N-N-I-N-G, and that's in Deidesheim. And they have a pretty neat tour of their cellars, and they do some other events that include food and cellars and things like that. So that's one I'd recommend to find out more.
I mean, can I just call up at these places and turn up, or do you have to book in advance? I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, for the cellar tours, you're going to want to call in advance and try to make a reservation for a place like that. It's a good question to know when these places are open, because a lot of them will actually close. The smaller family operations will close at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Mm.
So if you're planning on, the weekend, on a Sunday afternoon, I'm going to go to the Weingut and do some wine tasting. You want to make sure that you're going to a place that you know is going to be open. So, there's wine bars where, you can go and it's more of a bar type atmosphere. But if you want to actually go and taste wines, which almost every single place you'll go will be free. I've never, ever been charged for asking, to taste a different type of wine at a place. And there's no expectation that you're going to buy. They're happy to let you taste their wine. It's that simple. It's really going in and saying, is it okay if I try the Riesling? And they're more than happy to give you a taste.
Wow, that sounds like a great day out, frankly.
Yeah, it's relaxed. I'll say that. It's very relaxed. And like I said, even if you don't like wine, it's very approachable.
Yeah, that sounds it. It just sounds like a fantastic way to experience the local culture, even if you're not a wine buff, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
What about food? I don't know if you've listened to any of our earlier podcasts, but the subject of food and restaurants always comes up because it's my favourite. Do these Weinguts offer restaurants, food and restaurants as well?
Yeah, that's a real big reason why my wife and I live in this area too. When you're going to a new area, you're not really sure where to go for food. You know, you can check Yelp out or something like that. But sometimes it could be hit or miss. And what we have found in all the years that we've lived in this whole region here is there are no bad restaurants. And it just blows me away because we'll just go out and we'll say, hey, let's try this place. Not look at any reviews online or anything. And we walk in and we have an amazing meal that is not expensive. If you want it, you can get the super expensive meals, but I'll be honest with you, it's more common to have reasonably priced dinners that are just blow your mind good. And part of that is because all the people that live here also have to pay for those dinner prices. And so, you know, we're not 100% reliable on people coming in from the big cities. It's actually, the food is incredibly good. We haven't run into any bad restaurants, and we've been to a lot of them, but there are a couple that I can outline for you if you're looking for an cool experience with some amazing foods.
Absolutely. We're all about sharing insider tips on this podcast, Brett. Go for it.
Okay. All right. So my insider tip, if you got a special occasion and you're looking to really impress your wife or your husband, I would recommend going to the Hotel Ketchauerhof in Deidesheim. And the restaurant there is L.A. Jordan. And it is a Michelin one-star restaurant. Now, that can definitely sound intimidating to some people, I'm sure, especially if you've never been to one, because you're not sure what the protocol is of how many courses you have, which of the eight spoons and forks you're supposed to use, and all that. One of the reasons why I'm recommending this one is because they are so relaxed and cool. I'll tell you that the food is absolutely epic. I haven't had it, anytime I've been there, I haven't had the same thing twice. The menu is always different. And the way that, so the chef there is actually a younger guy. They say he's got the wild, which means he's a bit wild. And so, one time he served a dessert and we had, frozen sorbet and, it was in the shape of Darth Vader. You kind of look at yourself and you're like, are we at a Michelin restaurant here? This is incredible.
This sounds fantastic.
It's actually a lot of fun, but the wait staff is that way too. They're all in jeans and sneakers. And you never really feel like, okay, I don't fit in here. I shouldn't be here. You have that complete opposite feeling. And then when they bring out the courses and the food, it is just blow your mind good. And they really nail it. And so that's one that I, obviously we don't go too often because it's a Michelin one star. It's not cheap, but it's also not for what you get. Actually, if it's just kind of once in a while kind of thing, it's totally worth it. And obviously reservations are required, but it's beautiful. And the food and the experience, just, I can't rave more about it. If you're here in Germany, you should do it at least once.
I love this idea of gourmet food in sneakers.
Yeah, it's the wait staff and the sommelier is really cool guy. He actually remembered us. We went, like a year and a half apart, and he remembered us and exactly what we drank, actually. And
that's service.
Yeah, we were relying on him, because we didn't really know the wines on his list. And, he'd make jokes and even threw out a curse word in his joke in English and, not stuffy at all.
Fantastic. I'm going to drop links to all of these recommendations in the show notes because these sound like absolute gems.
Yeah, definitely. I'll recommend one that's a little bit more kind of just normal restaurant, mm-hmm. speed. And that's Weinhaus Henniger, and that's in Karlstadt. And Henniger, it's kind of more, I'd say, Pfälzisch style, and Pfälzisch is the area that we're in here, the Rhineland-Pfalz, and Pfälzisch food is a little bit more hearty for, people who have been out working all day. It's things like Salmagen and Wursts, but the food quality is incredibly good, and the prices are not bad at all, and so that one's in Karlstadt, and they really do a good job as well of having a nice relaxed atmosphere. And you'll hear me say that a lot about this region because you go around and you'll see people drinking wine at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I guess that's why everybody's so relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. How could you not be relaxed going to work like that?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm actually a big fan of Winehouse Hennigan myself. I've been there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've been there many times. We go for big long walks in the Fouts on a Sunday, then we'll often end up there for some good food. And I'm a vegetarian, and there's always something fantastic on the menu for me as well.
Yeah, it kind of has a feel of like an expensive restaurant because the food is there and it looks really nice, but it's not expensive at all. And so I like that one a lot.
Yeah, me too. So what about wine festivals, Brett? Are you a big fan of those?
My wife does not like big crowds. So we'll go and, hit some wine festivals here and there. But of course, this area is known for the biggest wine festival in the world. It's during the festival season when normally you would see like the Oktoberfest and things like that, except here it's focused on wine. You don't have to wear a dirndl and lederhosen. And I'm telling you that from personal experience, because one year after going to other festivals and wearing lederhosen and dirndls, my wife wearing the dirndl, I'm wearing the lederhosen, we wore those costumes to the Verstmarkt, and we were the only ones in the whole festival that was wearing traditional Bavarian clothing.
Oh goodness, that's like turning up at a fancy dress party when you're the only ones in fancy dress.
Exactly. And we had people looking at us and thinking we were probably Bavarian, and we even had people coming up and taking pictures with us, and they were German. So there's an insider tip for you right there.
Yes, don't wear traditional clothing at the Verstmarkt, but definitely wear it if you do go to Oktoberfest. You'll fit right in if you do that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Verstmarkt is like I said, it's usually in the fall, in the harvest time. So the dates you can look up, and of course they've got almost most of the really bigger vineyards, the vineyards represented there. So you know they have wine drinking tents, and they've got tons and tons of food, really hearty Pfälzisch food, and they've got rides and things. So just a really, really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. But that's a really big festival. One of the things that I'm quite a fan of in your area are actually some of the small individual ones in the villages, and also the Weinwanderungs. Have I said that right, Brett?
Yeah, Weinwanderungs. Yeah, it's a really cool concept, because what a Weinwanderung is, a wine, basically a wine wandering, a wine wanderer, so with all these vineyards around here, they end up doing kind of making a loop of some sort, and you end up walking 5 or 10 kilometers in on the route. They set up stations for, of course, to quench your thirst with lots of wine or water or beer. And basically, each town has its own festival throughout the whole summer. So you can explore the whole wine region by these Weinwanderungs, and it's a great way to kind of get out there in the beautiful, gorgeous rolling hills and eat food and drink wine. And here's what's really cool: lots of kids.
I was going to say, because I mean, going around tasting wine on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon isn't terribly child friendly. But actually, when I'm out in Germany at these Weinwanderungs and these small wine festivals, they are family days, right?
Yeah, I have never been to the Weinwanderung and not seen a ton of kids running around, on scooters playing. It's really cool, and it's very different than the States. It's very family oriented. It's meant to be time to hang out with your friends and family. And so, of course, there's always going to be people that have a little bit too much, and that's going to happen. But these festivals really are focused towards family. And so it means that, you can all experience, this culture together. And I love that.
Yeah, me too. I think that's great to see. And also dogs, right? You and I are both dog lovers.
Definitely. If you hear barking during this podcast, it means my dog has run out of food in her Kong upstairs. But yes, lots of dogs. The Germans love their dogs, which is so cool. We always see dogs at all these festivals, and of course they're really well behaved because most dogs go to dog school, which is also really neat. It's definitely dog friendly at the events as well.
One of the things that we bring up at every podcast is this little issue of cash being king in Germany. And I have definitely noticed that when I've been at a Weinwanderung, you really can't just take your credit card and expect to pay at these places using plastic, right?
Yeah, it's something that I still have to get used to as an American. Cash is definitely king. especially at these kinds of festivals where there is really no way to pay with a card or anything like that. And they don't have the remote ATM, you know, set up on the Vine-Vandong routes or anything like that. Right. So maybe if you start in a town, there's going to be an ATM or what they call here in Germany, an EC machine. You might get lucky there, but yeah, definitely cash. And my wife is always giving me cash because I always forget to get cash. So now I try to walk around with a minimum of 100 euros because I always end up, you know, somewhere where I need to buy something and they don't take, you know, cards or anything like that. And so definitely walk around with cash. Doesn't mean you're flaunting. It just means you're prepared, basically.
Yeah. And we're talking euro cash as well. It's not really easy to spend dollars once you leave the airbase, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's virtually impossible. Actually, I've tried to go to a bank to change dollars into euros and they didn't do it. You'd have to do that at a change place, which are usually at airports and things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, that's one tip, is be prepared. The other thing that I do find fantastic about some of these little festivals and Vine-Vandongs is that you can get out to them using the trains here and then cycle along the vineyards to actually reach your destination. So you don't even need a designated driver. You can actually use the German train system, put your bike on the train, and then stagger back home, right?
Yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head. You're talking my language because I'm also a biker and love hiking. And one of the coolest things about this area down here is the amount of trails and paths that are available to hike and walk and bike. And so a really fun way to do it is just like you said, Michelle, is hop on the train so you don't have to worry about driving and take your bike along with you. And then that way you can go from town to town here. And you know, the Germans are absolutely amazing at signage. So you can even go without a map. And as long as you know the name of the town that you're going to, you can walk or ride to that next destination without a flaw because the signage is so good and the paths are so easy to navigate.
And have you experienced Karfreie Sonntag while you've been living out into the Pfalz?
Yes, actually. Karfreie Day in the Weinstraße, as the Autofreitag, is usually the last Sunday in August. And what an awesome concept. They close down the complete Weinstraße for 84 kilometers and only open it to basically bicyclists.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's just such an awesome concept. And the fact that like people aren't complaining, well, I'm sure there's people complaining that are trying to, you know, get off the Autobahn, but it's so epic to see so many people out there on their rollerblades and their bikes and kids. And in every town, they've got bands playing. And along the route, they've got, you know, restaurants and Weingüts and radio stations set up, and it's not a necessarily a fitness type event. You know, you've got people out there that are just riding along, you know, drinking wine, or you've got, you know, you've also got your enduro athletes that are trying to ride the whole thing down and back in one day. And it is such a cool experience. And actually, one year I made all of my friends, because I lived on the Weinstraße, I made them all dress up as superheroes, and we rode down the Weinstraße. And we got three reactions from people. Either A, they looked at us and they were like, you know, wow, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. B, they looked at us and thought we were completely nuts. Or C, they didn't even notice, which just blew my mind, you know, because we had everybody. We had, you know, we had Captain America, we had Thor, we had Duffman. And so it was a super cool experience. And I think we started a trend, because every year after that, I've started seeing people dressed up as various groups.
You started that trend, Brett.
I'm going to pioneer that. Yeah, I'm going to take credit for that.
Fantastic. Well, it certainly sounds to me like you have really, you know, got the best out of living here in Germany. Do you see yourself moving back to the States, or is this home for you now?
No, for us, we don't know how long we'll be here. So, you know, the time that we're here, of course, we're going to enjoy and adventure and travel and, you know, meet new people. And that's really what it's all about. So basically try to live every day like it's your last.
Brett, you're on this podcast. Do you have any other places that we can stay in touch with you and hear a bit more about your life and times in Germany?
Well, funny you mentioned podcasts. I'm a huge fan of podcasts. And so my company has a podcast that's going to be coming out in the near future. We're in production right now. It's called Uncovering Europe. It's a little bit different than what you're doing here, Michelle. Ours is a little bit more storytelling. And we basically will go explore various areas of Europe and go kind of in depth and meet the local population and find out the stories of the history that make those places interesting. And so look for that to come out relatively soon.
That sounds fantastic, and I can't wait to hear it. I think that's a fantastic place for us to leave our interview. Brett, thank you so much. You've given us so many great tips and values there. I am going to put all of your links and tips into the show notes so every listener can follow you around the Weinstraße in your footsteps, or stagger around probably if they drink as much wine as it sounds like you do. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle. It's been a pleasure.
I really hope you enjoyed our visit to the Deutsche Weinstraße, the German wine road. There's so much more of it to explore, but I think Brett's tips and insider knowledge are just the perfect place to start discovering this beautiful region of Germany, and it's right on the doorstep of the KMC. If wine drinking isn't your thing, there's also so much more to do here. Discovering old Roman ruins, beautiful medieval castles, and long walks through the perfectly planted vineyards are all fantastic alternatives to wine tasting. Or you can simply do both, just like the locals. Every week, I'm sharing a sustainable travel tip, something to make us all more mindful travellers and help us to reduce our impact on the planet as we explore more of it. This week's tip is totally inspired by my interview with Brett and his love of cycling. Getting out of the car not only reduces air pollution and congestion, but has some seriously awesome benefits for your physical and mental health. Germany has an amazing network of bike routes, and it's perfectly possible to take your bike on the regional trains here too, which means you can start exploring as far away as you like. I think you'll totally start to appreciate the country and the great outdoors on a much deeper level when you're on two wheels and outside in the fresh air. I believe the best travellers leave nothing behind but a good impression and take nothing away but great memories.
Thank you for listening to Explore Europe. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you, so tell us in the comment section where you'd like us to visit next. And let us know where you'll be exploring using the hashtag Explore Europe on Twitter. See you next time, explorers.